In Hebrews chapter 10. And towards the end of the chapter. Verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly why ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now I'm going to select some readings in chapter 11. And before I do that, let me say that we've been hearing of the thought of patience and reference made to one of the verses that I have read. My mind is, and was before coming to the conference, the expression, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Now, we have had people who are in difficult circumstances, and so the Spirit of God has given us also, a number of Old Testament examples of people who acted in faith. And it is given to them for their encouragement. Now, let's be very clear. The Spirit of God selects what he wants about each one. The assembly that I was received into and later commended from, they were going through the Epistle to the Hebrews, and they spent at least 6 months in Hebrews chapter 11. And what they did was, they covered so much the life of each individual. We have, and I'm going to refer to it, they have David also. Would you believe they spoke for 2 nights on that? 2 hours Bible readings. Well, you see, they were clever. Well, there's a lot of help there, and a lot of gift. So we're not going to criticize them, but I think I say this much. They missed the purpose, and before I do my reading, I want you to get the purpose so that you won't miss it. And it's this. We're going to find, if you go through, and I won't go through it all, if you go through Hebrews 11, there are individuals, and the Spirit of God selects one thing about that individual. He has nothing more in mind than that one thing for them to learn. You say, well, how about Abraham? There are 3 at least references and incidents in his life, but they are that, and no more. It's not the whole life. And you'll notice there is nothing about failure. So, in the early part of the chapter, perhaps down to about 30 somewhere there, but you'll find that the people are named and what they did. Then you'll find a grouping of people who are named, but no reference to what they did. And then following on that, there are no names given, but what they did or what they endured. And so that would be a quick run of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Now, I want to select just a few, and then I'm going to go on with my reading in just a moment into the next chapter. So let's look then. Verse 4. By faith Abel, that's 11 and 4, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated,
that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now there is about Abraham, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called, went out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing whither he went. Drop down now to verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength. I don't know if you have any difficulty with this. You remember the story about Sarah, don't you? She laughed her head off at the very idea. And then when God challenged her, she lied. Not only did she laugh, but she lied. And now we're told here, look at it again there at verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And the reason, because she judged him faithful, who had promised. Therefore there sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, let's drop down a little. Verse 20. By faith Isaac, I don't know if you have any problem with this, but it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, give commandment concerning his bones. Now, we're not going to go into those others. Come into chapter 12, please. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that doesn't mean eyewitnesses, by the way, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we have we got witnesses? Well, here is the supreme witness, and he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Were they in difficulties? So he says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, in their lifetime, the Spirit of God points them to living witnesses. So let's go into chapter 13 just to see this. Verse 7. Remember them which shall rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the Lord bless his word. There is, perhaps, because of circumstances, not just the possibility, but perhaps even a tendency to get discouraged and to cast away, therefore, your confidence. Now, if you take this book in its setting, what you're getting is this. My, it's a wonderful opening, you know. Seven things stated in that first few verses about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you work down that chapter, each one's so important. Then when you go down that chapter, a little, seven quotations from the Old Testament. You know, it says, God has spoken. And he is the message. And there isn't a recorded word of the Lord Jesus that he has actually spoken
unless it be in the volume of the book, it's written of me. Unless that be a quotation, a word that he spoke. There isn't anything else that he said, but I'm telling you, his life and his general teaching, it was a message, it was a challenge to the people, it was God's message, he was the message. What would they do with him? Well, brethren, the same thing comes to us. And what they did, we have done. They accepted him, he's presented as the Messiah to the nation, they accept that. He's presented to us as Savior, we accept that. Now they have taken a stand, and they're encountering difficulties in their pathway of faith. You see, have you looked a little more at Abraham? It's not only that Abraham went out. That's true, not knowing whether he went. The next verse tells us, by faith, he continued in that path. And since it mentions in that verse the other two, you know, his son and his grandson, and they were heirs of the promise, it means that this was a lifetime pathway, or at least a prolonged pathway. So it wasn't that he started out in faith and that's the end of it. He started out in faith and continued in it. That's the teaching. And so the Spirit of God has selected some verses here for these people, or some incidents, for their encouragement. We can only look at a little of it. But there's been a wonderful presentation of the Lord Jesus. And now there's persecution. There's opposition. There's criticism. And then when they look over at the temple, it's going on, it's functioning just the same as ever. Oh, the Lord ripped the veil from top to the bottom. And they say the priest got out and sewed it back up again. They're going to go on with the old system whether or not. Well, they look over there and they say, what have we got? We were just a few. Well, I may be jumping the gun a little, but you know, Noah, he says, what have you got? This is just 8 of us. Oh, you would give up? No, he says, don't give up, even if we are small in numbers. He said, did you read what happened with Noah? He worked for the saving of his house. Brethren, if we, this isn't where we should stop. Oh, don't stop there. Have a big enough heart to reach out to the unsaved. But listen, don't ever stop short of putting every effort that you know into the salvation of your house. So, the end of that chapter 10, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Why? He is a great recompense of reward. Brethren, it's only a little while. And you say, but the going is tough. I wouldn't challenge that. I've been around a few years now. Difficulties. Mr. Thompson referred to losses and personal losses and that sort of thing. Difficulties, problems, family. There is no one that finds the path easy. But I want to tell you there's encouragement. Let me see if I can show you a little of it here. He says now, first thing he says, oh, it's only a little while till he gets here. He says, yet a little while. He that shall come and will not tarry. You know, in my mind, I have turned this over. Jewish hopes were linked with the establishment of the kingdom and the return of the Messiah. I'm not quite sure that's what's here, though. I'm going to use it, as I like to use it, as most do, that it is. You know, I remember attending I wasn't brought up in the assemblies, I was brought up from the outside, saved from the outside. But I remember attending a Baptist convention in a huge tent on one of the bomb sites after the war in the downtown Belfast in High Street. I'll never forget a chorus that the soloist sang. It was, he's coming back again, he's coming back again, he's gone away, but not to stay, and then we're all in a peace. I wish I could almost ask you, he's coming back again. Brethren, grasp it in your soul. This is the purpose of it. This is what he's introducing. This is what he's setting forth. He says, so you're having difficulties. Well, it won't last forever. Say, yeah, but you sort of sometimes think to do. Brethren, even if it lasts till he comes back, even if it's until then, and it usually isn't that way, you know. Experience is, you may have your difficulty and then it eases up a little. But here he says, yet a little while, he that shall come will come
and will not touch. Meanwhile, the just shall live by faith. So you can see what we're called for. Now, before I touch chapter 11, somebody will say, well, you don't have an Old Testament reference to every case of faith that is there. You are 100% right. But let me tell you that in Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so even though we do not necessarily have a recorded word of God to the individual, count on it that that individual had, if God says it was by faith, that individual had a word from God. Let me illustrate what I mean. We've been looking at this, I'm over at Phoenix area, and we have looked a little at this in Sunny Slope Bible reading, so there's one or two here at the very front of, they'll have to tolerate a little bit, but I'll soon get past this. You've had it before. Anyhow, it's good enough to hear again as far as I'm concerned, you know. But having said that, of Enoch, it says he walked by faith. You say there's no record of it. But God did speak to Enoch about other things. Go to the book of Jude. And there you find, why, he's prophesying, foretelling events yet future. Where did he get it? He got it from God. It tells you what he preached. It doesn't say what God said to him. And I believe in the same way, in connection with many of the cases in Hebrews chapter 11, whilst there is no record that I can turn up, at least some of them I can't turn up. Mind you, I've done a little work and I could turn up quite a few in connection with the various characters that are here. But at the same time. So I want you to, I will leave that. I've been talking about, do you notice what comes, what I've read first, one of the first cases, Abel. He said he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Brother, you know, we've been hearing part of the purpose for why God saved us. John 4 tells us about worship. They that worship must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship. Did you ever go to an assembly where they're on strike? That's what it said. Did you ever go to an assembly where they're on strike? Well, you say, assemblies don't go on strike. No, but some of the brethren in them do. You say, what do you mean, darling? I'll tell you what I mean. Sit there, arms crossed. The Bible on this side and hymn book on the other side. And the zipper was zipped up and they'd thrown away the key and the thing was broken. They could never open it up again. There's no exercise, brethren. And you came to worship God. You know, we have the same back where I come from. I think if they put all the pauses together, counted them up, we could, and just sort of kept on going without the pauses, we'd get through about 15 minutes earlier than the meeting. We'd go for an hour and a half. I may be exaggerating on that, but you can see, you can sense that I'm provoked, can you? Because if you don't, I want to tell you. And I believe that God's less than pleased, far less than pleased. Are you on strike? Now, I see a number of younger brethren, and they say, oh, we leave it to the older men. The older fellows are tired of it. They're forced into it. It's an endurance test to see who came in first. They're playing chicken. Who'll give up? And who'll give in first? Now, brethren, I want to gently and kindly, look, it's God we're dealing with. If you really believe that you're saved, and you really believe that God loved you and that Christ died for you, if nothing else, if you need a hymn, I'll give you a number. I don't like to work that way, but I can't take this. You know, something is almost going, it keeps going. You're going to have a nervous breakdown waiting for somebody. Brother, that's not exercise. Do you know when the wise men came to the Lord Jesus, to the babe? They brought their gifts and they stood back waiting to see. No, I won't name them, but you know some of them have. No, you go ahead first. Brethren, listen. I believe they came to give. I'm going to leave that. I shouldn't get allow myself to get worked up like this, but it doesn't help. I don't know where my heart's racing just now, but that'll be fine. We'll get through. I want you to know, brethren, that we come to give.
So we have younger men. I remember a man, he's out preaching. And when he professed to be saved, I wasn't at all involved. But finally, after some teaching, he wanted to be baptized. So we went to the lake, that part of the country. Baptism were pretty well summertime affairs. And not now they have a new hall, but we went to the lake. He came down dressed in a suit and shirt and tie and all the rest of it. Oh, he said, you didn't need to get dressed for like that for about to be baptized. He said, listen, isn't this a funeral? Don't they always dress you up and put on your suit and dress you up and put a shirt and tie on to go to be in the casket? Well, he says, I'm going to be buried today. So he says, this is how I'm going in. And that's how he went in. Now, that may be extreme. Personally, I sort of feel it was. On the other hand, I was there when he was received. It's not my home assembly, but he got up. First Lord's Day was in the assembly. You boys listening? You know, when I got saved, of course, brought up in the Catholic Church, I could have recited the rosary or said the Mass in Latin, all the responses, anything like that. But pray without a prayer book or rosary beads, I didn't know how to do that. So when I got saved, I had a little itsy-bitsy prayer this size, just a few word sentences. But he didn't do any better. He was down in less than half a minute. But I believe he offered more to God, and I don't pay him many compliments, I should as well tell you. But he gave more to God that morning than the rest of us put together. See, why tell us that? Because, my dear young brother, even if it's itsy-bitsy size, it'll please God. And you know, we're not the people that shout amen and hallelujah, but I think if you were to do it, some of the sisters would have trouble keeping quiet. They would want to say, amen, that's the thing. Now we'll maybe get the rest of the boys going. So worship came first. Enoch, well, you can see how Enoch is there. We were talking in the earlier chapter about translation. He's just a picture of it. Maybe for time's sake, I won't detain myself here. Let me bring you down then and talk to you a little about Abraham. As I said, there are several cases. Abraham, here he is. An idolater. And he got a call. And he responded. We would say he was an outsider. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord does reach and save outsiders. I'm one of them. And I'd like to see more of them reached. So don't neglect the outsiders. But sure, work hard on your own family. I believe in keeping a balance on this, you know. A word was enough. He didn't know all that was involved. Why, when I got saved, I had no idea where it was going to lead to. I've been turning over my mind. I'm going to digress for a moment. I haven't met Mr. Thomason until last evening. I've known of him. I was chatting to him and I said, you know, you look terribly like your dad did. And I was thinking, the assembly that he grew up in and was in Sunday school in is the same assembly that Mr. Abernathy grew up in the Sunday school and Mr. Lavery grew up in the Sunday school. See, you know, there must have been somebody did something right around there. Now, I remember this man getting saved in South Africa, right? And I was in the assembly. Well, I was there with Mr. Abernathy, at least in the assembly when he was saved. And I remember Mr. Lavery getting saved in Detroit. Now, I wasn't involved in any of these cases, I understand. Well, there are three in the work. I remember I used to correspond with Dr. Terry Darling of India. Same assembly. Mr. Sam McCune in the West Indies. And then later, his second wife was, well, his first wife was from the R Assembly as well. Is there something special about one assembly? There must have been somebody praying or working at it. I believe that. On the other hand, is one assembly to have the preeminence in this
and the rest of them are sit back and take it easy, and there's never an exercise. And Thursday night prayer meeting, or whatever your prayer meeting is, there never is a prayer that the Lord would raise up someday and send them into the work. He said, Daddy, you preached that at Phoenix.
Yeah, I know that. Quite comfortable. No problem at all. As a matter of fact, should you hear me around for a little while, you're liable to hear it again. You know why? I get a response eventually. Why, I used to shout this in Northern Ontario. We wanted somebody from the North, for the North. Well, we got three of them. And one of them took off and made a chili. That's no problem. I'm not sure about that, Emily. That's his business. But I believe you keep at it. And if the saints were exercised, I believe there'd be something done. See, when we get workers, yeah, is that it for the century? Is that it for eternity, brethren? From the southwest? Come on. I think there should be exercise. So Abraham started out and he had no idea what he was going out there. Quickly, let's meet him. Sarah. Now, you realize what I've been stressing. This was for their encouragement, but it's also for our encouragement. In their encouragement, there was temple worship in contrast to spiritual worship. And he's speaking here about there was no temple worship in Abel's day, but there was worship for God, there was exercise. When it was Enoch, it was for their encouragement. God had promised that he, in the chapter, he's coming back and he's taking this man away. And so it has this sort of this line of things, and it's for her, his encouragement, and it motivated him in connection with his walk. Unless we have something to motivate us, our walk's going to be, it's not going to be anything. And that's what it did here. Now look again. We've seen just a word is enough. And Noah, he built the ark. Then Abraham, the word is enough. Now you realize, of course, there was Noah's ark. It wasn't a general invitation to come into the ark. He was, come thou and all thy house. His message was he preached judgment or repentance. Now he says it's either repent or be judged. They didn't repent. You know as well as I do that they were judged. There's no general invitation, nor was there room within the ark for all. Not that I'm suggesting a limited atonement or anything, you know what I've just said. At the same time, understand how it was presented in Scripture. So we come to fear Sarah. See, what encouragement could we get from Sarah? Well, Sarah got a word from God. And she says, she's going to say impossible. Impossible. it couldn't be, Lord.
Do you sometimes feel that, oh no, that can't be? And then, I don't know if she was eavesdropping or the conversation was close enough that she heard it, but anyway, she knew what was going on. And she laughed at the very idea.
And she said, no, I didn't laugh.
Then she lied.
Now, had God said there was going to be a son?
He said, yeah, it's impossible.
It doesn't look like it, eh? And says, by faith, where is her faith?
For yours and I very often is too. We get a word and we say, no way could that possibly be. But the longer you think about it, and the more you consider it, you settle in your soul, God said it. That's it. Now, I don't know if Abraham tried to encourage her or talk her into it. I don't think so. It says here that she had faith. And upon reflection and consideration, you see, the son was promised for a year later, so there would be several months for reflection and consideration. Maybe sometimes you get a word, and you have to, you wouldn't say, I don't believe it, but like sort of, you wish you wouldn't see it. Nonetheless, you're getting pretty close to it, eh? This lady is for our encouragement. This is for our encouragement. Reflect upon the word of God. We don't always act upon it immediately, but she acted upon it. Then it tells us that the son was born. This, therefore there sprang up one, and him as good as dead. Now we've got Abraham's fitted in here, but not by name. You've probably considered him. You know, the way we read Genesis,
22 through 25, you get, Isaac and then the death, and then you get the choice of the bride, and then you get Keturah. And you say, then he had after Sarah's gone, he marries again, and there's another family. Hold it. I said, hold it.
You know what you mean? Well, here's what I mean. If Abraham has the ability, with Keturah, to beget children, then you're taking away something of the miraculous in the birth of Isaac. I'm going to leave you with that because time is racing away on me, but I want you to see some versions say Abraham had taken, in chapter 25, had taken a wife or a concubine or whoever you want to word that one. And that was earlier on and before, that was concurrent with the life of Sarah. See, important, don't get excited about it. If you happen to disagree with me, you'll get to heaven, so will I. Don't get excited. But think on it, because I can see that there was the miraculous in connection with the birth of Isaac, but I have a problem if on both sides, that is Abraham and Sarah, but you take away part of it, you have raised a problem for me. I have enough problems, really. I don't want you to give me any more. So, brother, let me suggest to you now, if we look here, I want you to think, come down and look at Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So where is that man's faith? He was what he said, and he said, look, son, did you go out? There was no child here. Did you go out and get me some venison? He said, I just love that stuff. You go out and get it, go hunting. And mom's sitting there in there listening. She said, did Jake come over here to talk to you? Jake, come over, I want to speak to you. And she has a message for him now. You go out to the flock, you get the kid, you get it killed, you get it dressed, you give it to Pa, he'll never know the difference. And he spiced it up. Why did he eat? But don't forget, God, he knew what God had said, he was the elder, would serve the younger. Did he have a word from God? Is he acting on it? No, he says that again. And so, after he's eaten, are you Esau? Oh, yeah, I'm Esau. He says, come over to my feet. You even have the garments on. And I just felt like a thief. I don't know what sort of gloves or whatever or even there is in the back of his hand. He's a thief. He tells you about his vision. Now, you could spiritualize that. The man started out really in disobedience, a lack of faith, no vision. Watch to see what happens. He's talking home. He's got the venison lately. I don't know how he's carrying it. Got it cooked, brings it in, presents it to his father to eat, and he says, who are you? He says, you know, the old man, he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob. He said, I'm Esau. Now, here's what happens. The Bible tells that man literally trembled. You know why? He has blessed him. Watch for his face now. He has blessed him, and he shall be blessed. You know what this is? You and I have been here, you know. He has to be faithful. So what do you see? Here's what happens. He has got the two clips. He knew what the word of the order for God was. And he is preserved for making a mistake. He, in his own willfulness, he was going to go in disobedience. Then, when he sees what has happened to him, he trembles and he says, that blessing that he has pronounced, not that he intended, he says, that shall stand. That's his faith. He's acknowledging what is of God, finally. You know, sometimes we have gone as far as we dare, as far further than we should dare. And God has blocked, even though it may be a circumstance like such as deception and all that, God in sovereignty is overruled. And so, are you surprised that he trembles? Poor Jacob. You know, he made the sign of the cross, the Catholics would tell you, don't believe it. But he had enough sense to know this when they brought him up, you know, the boys. And he's going to bless, says here, he blessed the sons of Joseph. Now, don't think that these are little fellows. Do a bit of counting. Jacob was 17 years
after he came down, he's 17 years living in Egypt before he dies. These boys fit into Joseph's life prior to his coming. At least one of them does. I think both do. Now, what do we get?
Well, if you could get a boy, and
you talk about bringing him out between his knees. Some of these expressions, we need to maybe use another version to get the sense of it. Here's the point. These weren't children, and they're being brought in for the blessing. And Joseph brings up the firstborn for that right hand. And Jacob has enough faith. And he says, this is how the blessing's to be. He hadn't been characterized by faith in the early part of his life, but brethren, he sure is now. Now I'm going to stop in a few minutes, should anyhow. But no, there's an awful lot more here. What about these names that are mentioned, but no action, no acts of faith? See, how about David? How about David? Gideon, Samson, Jephthah. See, that would be an interesting one. Not today, brother. Not today. What about those who are not named, but their actions are there? You'll lead them to profit for yourself. We have started out from each of these cases. God has them there that these saints of that day might be encouraged. And as they were encouraged, so we are to be encouraged. And it's a specific thing that he has lifted out for the encouragement of the saints of that day. Brethren, this is how we are to handle the word of God, that there are specifics for our instruction and blessing today. So he said, here are all these witnesses. He said, I want to introduce you to the greatest witness of all. So that's what we have in chapter 12. And he says, looking on to Jesus, get your eyes on him. Then the next verse, 12 and 3, is, consider him who endured such contradiction. Oh, that was their encountering. That's exactly the difficulty that these saints of that day are encountering. Do you encounter opposition? Indifference? Some of us know what it is to have opposition within the family. Brethren, when the Lord speaks, that's enough. So if they want to be wrong, you have to let them be wrong. Somebody said, you know, but your parents. I said, oh, I think I'm big enough to make up my own mind. I was almost 22 when I could say it. I said, I think I'm big enough to make up my own mind now. I don't need anybody else to tell me what to do. When God tells me I don't need anybody else, thank you. And so, looking onto Jesus, and here it is, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against yourself. And all these distresses and problems and difficulties, I was there, didn't harvest my time very well. I was going to raise part of what was in Romans 5 with part of what is here in connection with circumstances and patience. Notice what it said in verse 11. It said, no chastening. That's not for wrongdoing. That is a type of child training. No chastening for the present is grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Brethren, we need to be exercised by our circumstances, even in difficulty and adversity. And what will the outcome be? We may not always have the answers, but it says, nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down. And then, did you notice how it goes? Chapter 13. Oh, you know these witnesses, do you? Present day witnesses. Maybe they have just gone a little before and well enough acquainted with them. Is there anybody whose example of faith you would follow? Are they all in the Old Testament, brethren, or have we got some alive and well today? We do. You know, somebody say, well, this is one of the big things with George Mueller's ministry. It was a witness what God could do to a man, for a man of faith. Well, now we don't have quite the same thing. But brethren, you mean that there aren't any brethren around today? Notice what it said about them. Consider the end of their conversation. What is it? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Oh, you said you misquoted that intentionally. Let me give it to you correctly now. Jesus Christ is not just the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That allows for change, brethren. That won't do.
Jesus Christ. This is what they're occupied. This is the end of their life. It should be the end of ours. These were current or living witnesses at that time. And I believe we have brethren and their whole life's course is this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.